Today we're talking about metabolic flexibility. Hello everyone, welcome to Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet. I'm Violet. I'm a psychologist and the reason I make these videos is to help you to understand that your physical health and mental health come together to generate that feeling of overall health, happiness, and well-being. Metabolic flexibility is basically the idea that we can switch back and forth between different states and different ways of coping. And one example we have of that is our ability to use fats for fuels and our ability to use carbs for fuels. And the question is, well, why would that be important to be able to do and how does it help us? One of the major benefits of being able to use carbohydrates as a source of energy rather than fats is that in a time where, you know, back in the day when we were chasing our prey, when the protein sources that were running away from us were sparse and hard to catch, we could turn to vegetation, which has some protein sources as well. And so we could fuel ourselves for periods of time on the vegetation until we were able to catch an animal to eat. Now, obviously, we are well aware that there are certain amino acids that we can only get from animals. And so therefore, it wasn't ideal, but at the same time, it wasn't necessary for it to be ideal. It was a way for us to survive until we caught an animal. In today's society, it's a little different because in today's society, the way that it functions is that the thing that blocks us from being able to have good quality animal product is the price. And so for those of us who are struggling with our finance, sometimes going towards carbohydrates is a way to manage our ability to feed ourselves and fuel ourselves while we are amassing the finance we need to get some high quality meats. One of the first issues I'm going to point out is that when we were making the switch back and forth between carbohydrate sources and fat sources 400 years ago, the quality of the meat that we were chasing, so whether it was some kind of bison or some kind of larger animal that we would catch and eat the meat of, a bear, whatever it was, that animal, if we were not able to catch it, was being replaced by vegetation. You know, whether it be a root vegetable or a leafy green vegetable, it was vegetation or fruit even that were coming on trees. Today, the unfortunate issue that I see is that we're making the switch between an animal, so cows, chicken, pig, lamb, an animal, and Pop-Tarts and chips and rice and bread with peanut butter. And so we're not switching a living source for a living source. We're switching a living source for a process source. That's the first issue that I'm going to point out about our attempt to live using the sources being carbohydrate. Now there's another issue that, and you know, sometimes those sources are better. Some people are doing, for example, a vegetarian lifestyle where a lot of their source of carbohydrates is coming from vegetables. However, there is nothing in the vegetarian way of eating that says you cannot eat Pop-Tarts and all those other things. So I'm just pointing that out. The other thing I want to point out is that when we live in this world for too long, so in the carbohydrate world, and especially in the carbohydrate world that is highly processed, when we live there for too long, one thing that we are noticing is that there is the creation of metabolic syndrome that starts to happen. So people who eat a lot of carbohydrates on a very regular basis have a higher tendency of developing metabolic syndrome and eventually developing diabetes. So this is something for diabetes, Alzheimer's, you know, any of the metabolic issues. So this is something for people to think about. The switch back and forth and our metabolic flexibility was based on flexibility. If I can't get this, then I get that. We've taken it to the point where we're deciding to get that most of the time. Or, like I said, financially, we can only afford that most of the time. When we eat high levels of carbohydrates, especially of the processed type, we don't classify that as poisoning ourselves. We don't classify those foods as toxic, even though high levels of carbohydrates has been shown to be toxic because we cannot have more than 5 grams of carbs circulating in our blood at any particular point in time. So If we don't classify these foods as toxic, and as a matter of fact, often we don't, often they're classified as heart healthy, often they're classified as good for us and a very important snack that we need to fit into our day 2 to 3 times a day. When we classify these foods that are causing metabolic issues as healthy, then we are encouraging people to eat unhealthy foods. And these foods have been shown to affect our health with regard to weight, with regard to inflammation, and also with regard to cardiovascular issues. And I mean, again, the list goes on and on. The ideal scenario for humans is, so what's a normal diet for humans? The ideal scenario is to eat fat for fuel. And we know that because when we eat fat for fuel and the protein that comes along with that fat, so we're eating fat and protein together, our insulin doesn't rise nearly as much as when we eat carbohydrates. Now, by eating fat for fuel, what we end up doing is allowing our body to fuel itself. We get the protein sources that we need to build a good body. And in actuality, if we would need some carbohydrates, because there are parts of our brain that do use carbs, and if we would need those carbohydrates, our body would produce them because our body can produce them. Now, it's ideal to use fats for fuel because when we do use that as our primary fuel source, our body does not store excessive amounts of fat. And then when we're hungry, if there isn't a fuel source, so if we're hungry and we don't have an animal-based fuel source, the nice thing about being metabolically flexible is that I can eat a carbohydrate fuel source, which will give me the energy that I need. It will give me some protein. It will allow me to keep moving forward. And because I'm metabolically healthy, I will be able to put away those carbohydrates as fats and then use that fat to fuel myself. So in essence, I don't actually need to eat as much carbohydrates as I've been eating because I will eat them, but it will be too much. I will store, and then those fat stores can fuel me for several days versus what we've been doing, which is eating carbohydrates on a daily basis and then store days, even months worth of energy on us rather than allowing myself to use that energy to push me forward. So the nice thing about being metabolically flexible is that when you are and you've been fueling your body with fat, the few times that you do decide for whatever reason to fuel your body with carbs, you are able then to not need to eat for a few days, right? That's again the point of the plan. 400 years ago, I would need to eat some carbs to store some energy so that I could go a few days hunting and catch the animals that I need to catch. So is eating carbohydrates on a regular basis healthy? Knowing that carbohydrates stimulate the dopamine centers of your brain and cause an addictive reaction. So that's the first piece of information I'm going to put on the table. Knowing that. Is eating carbohydrates on a regular basis healthy? Well, the other substance that stimulates the dopamine centers in our brain is alcohol. And when we drink alcohol on a regular basis, what tends to happen is that we need more and more of it to get the same reaction. Well, guess what? Sugar reacts the same way. So when you have sugar, carbohydrates, on a regular basis, you need more and more of it to get that same reaction, which means that when we allow ourselves to eat sugar on a regular basis, we end up eating more and more of it as time goes forward. Therefore, is sugar a healthy thing to have on a regular basis? And I feel like the answer to that question is no. If you're trying to live a healthy life, the same way that you wouldn't ingest alcohol on a regular basis because you know it's going to cause you to become an alcoholic, it's not the best idea to ingest sugar on a regular basis because that will cause you to gain weight and become addicted to sugar, which we all are on some level if we are overweight or if we have a very large stomach area. Now, unfortunately, there are repercussions to being addicted to something. And one of the repercussions is this. If I've previously been addicted to something and then I'm able to curb myself and no longer ingest that thing, if it becomes reintroduced later on in life, the possibility that I become addicted again is very high because guess what? Our brains have pathways that are created when we do something regularly. And so Even though I might not engage that behavior for years and years and years, as soon as I do engage it, my brain just knows how, right? The same way that you can not have ridden a bike for years and then you get on the bike and you just remember how to do it. And the same way that you can remember the name of your grade 5 teacher, even though it's been 20, 30, 40 years. Why? Because when we know something, we know it, right? And it's the same thing with addictive behaviors. If I've got that pathway mapped out in my brain, then when I go back and I try to eat sweet, I get turned back on. And then all of a sudden, all those cravings and that tendency to overeat sugar is back. And I can tell you personally, I've experienced this with chocolate before any of this happened. I would go through phases where all I wanted to do was eat chocolate, totally addicted. And then I would say, nope, stop. And I would totally push chocolate out of my life. I'd stop buying it and thinking, you know, a few months from now, I'll be able to go and buy it. And guess what? That never happened. There was never the story where, and now I can eat chocolate like a normal person. It didn't happen. And do you know why? Because the pathway was there. And if I bought chocolate, I overate the chocolate. So I had to take a decision. I'm either doing it or I'm not doing it. We need to understand that addictions function in a certain way. And the same way that there are many, many people who just can't drink alcohol, can't smoke, can't, like, there are certain things that once you become addicted to it, you're just addicted and you need to stop. It's the same thing with food. Well, it's the same thing with sugar. If you're addicted to sugar, when you get it out, when you try to reintroduce it, most people end up going too far. You think about people that talk about their cheat days. And honestly, when you look at what they've eaten in their cheat day, it's like, wow, that's a lot. Like, how did you even eat all of that? And it's because once it got turned on, right? And then the difficulty that often occurs in trying to curb that cheat day afterwards. So you have the day and then you want to have another day and another day. And then, so understanding that addictive is addictive, right? It's really difficult when we're trying to understand how keto works because, first of all, we go through all the withdrawal to get ourselves down to 20 grams. And then when we do successfully get to our weight that we would like to stay at, sometimes now it's confusing because, well, I don't want to keep losing. And so people automatically assume if I don't want to keep losing, I need to raise the amount of carbohydrates that I'm eating. The thing I want you to think about is that if I raise the amount of carbohydrates that I'm eating, then what am I doing? I'm reintroducing the addictive factor to my life. Again, the whole idea of understanding metabolic flexibility is to really allow myself to be able to interact with it well. So I'm not going to say that there aren't people on the planet that could have one cookie. What I'm going to say is most of us are not like that. You need to know yourself. You need to know your personality. You need to understand, am I that person that can have one cookie? So I really do believe that rather than cheating, which means that I'm letting myself do whatever I want and I'm throwing caution to the wind, and I think that's a bad idea. When you're trying to be healthy, you're trying to do things that are going to keep you in a good place in life, then you need to plan things for yourself. You need to plan things in a way that makes sense. So rather than having a cheat day, I would encourage everyone to plan if they happen to want to eat something off plan. So what that means is maybe there's an anniversary coming up that you really want to celebrate, or maybe there's a birthday party, or maybe there's some occasion where you feel like there's a dessert that you might want to have. The first thing I'm going to say is this. If I planned it and I know that that's all I'm having, then it's already in front of me that that's what I'm having. And I work it into my numbers. That's the other part of the story. If you can, try your best to work it into your numbers. And then that's what I have and that's what I have. I know for a lot of occasions, you're probably going to end up getting out of ketosis for a little while. Is that the end of the world? No. Metabolically flexible people will be able to get back into ketosis. It's the planning that matters the most. It's knowing what I'm doing, knowing why I'm doing it, and being on point with what I'm about to do, right? If I don't plan it, then one piece of cake could turn into 7. One cookie could turn into 5 or 10, right? Now, the other thing I want you to keep in mind is, how do I know when I'm metabolically flexible? That's another question mark. What does it actually mean? Well, like I said, back in the day, you weren't chasing sugar. And I think that's an important element here, because there are going to be some people who on a special occasion are going to have one slice of cake. They're going to eat that slice of cake and they're going to be okay. And they're not going to feel like, I need another one, I need another one, I need another one. Where there's going to be other people that bite number one or two is in and they're already thinking about the fourth or fifth slice of cake they're having. We need to know ourselves. If you find yourself that you had something, that you, even if you planned it, that you had something and now you can't get it out of your head, your metabolic flexibility has not returned yet. And that pathway to addiction is still very present. So it really does become important for you to pause and ask yourself, what's more important? Is it more important for me to eat a piece of cake? Or is it more important to me to be healthy long term? There are doctors that believe that we can fully reset our bodies and get back to that metabolic flexibility. Some say within 4 years, some say within 7 years. I hope so. I'm closing in on my 1 year, and I would love to be able to make that switch and be able to go back and forth. But does that mean that I would actually start eating carbs again on a regular basis? Actually, I already know I won't do that. And the reason I can say that with such confidence is I've already had a strawberry and was like, oh my God, I can't do this. I've already tasted a few sweet things and felt like, how did I used to do this before? Right? Some of them purposeful, some of them not purposeful. I feel like the thing that I've come to realize is that when you do eat the way that humans are supposed to eat, so low carb and more protein and fat based, the way that you enjoy foods changes. And honestly, I can tell you that I'm much more towards savory and salty now than I am towards sweet. And on those few occasions where I have a sweet something, so now we're talking about keto friendly, the level of sweetness that needs to be there is so low, it's actually kind of funny. So that I will taste something and find it sweet, and then someone who's not keto will taste the same thing and be like, wow, that's so bland. So your flavors will change, the way that you engage with food will change, and that flexibility will be there. And if you needed to eat something that's carb-based to get you through, you'll be able to do it. But if you're actually doing well with your keto lifestyle, you also might just be able to skip the day of eating and eat tomorrow when you have access to what you really want to eat. And to address that psychological part, you know, those memories of grandma's cookies, well, for me, it's my grandmother's pone, memories of pancakes and what that used to taste like. But honestly, like, I think about those ideas, and although they're fun to remember, I don't feel like eating them. I'd rather have some nuts or cheese. So again, I feel like it's okay to remember that I used to eat those things. It's okay to remember that they used to make me feel a certain way, to feel cared for, even though, like, really, we should never feel cared for because we're eating, except unless we're trying to make sure we don't die. Like, we should feel cared for because the people around us love us, not because they made us a special meal. Again, it's that thing, right, that we do where we make something mean something that it really doesn't. Because if I love you, I love you. I'm not loving you because I made you something. I love you because I love you. And we need to understand that piece of information. When we do, then our relationships are going to be better because we're going to focus our time on our interaction with the person over the meal rather than on the meal. Our interaction with grandma over that slice of pone rather than the slice of pone. Right? That's what becomes important. Of course, if you were the kind of person who was able to say no to sweets when you were eating the standard American diet, chances are going to be very good that you'll be able to say no to sweets doing a ketogenic lifestyle. And so you'll be able to go back and forth and have that metabolic flexibility with no issues. If you're like the rest of us who had a hard time saying no to sweets, then chances are that you're going to have a hard time on the ketogenic lifestyle. And by the way, I just want to point out, if you were that kind of person who could say no to a chocolate bar, but you couldn't say no to bread, you couldn't say no to pasta, you need to understand that those are carbohydrates. And so chances are you'll have a hard time if you go back, right? Can you guys let me know how long it took for you before you realized that you didn't really need the carbs anymore? And for those of you who still need them, can you tell me like what kind of carbohydrates you are eating? I'm really curious to know that. I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet. If you haven't already, subscribe. And don't forget, click the like button so that I know that these videos you're finding worthwhile. I'll talk to you in the next video.